Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
Clicked on a movie called Dunkirk, and you know, I don't know, not necessarily you have to watch it because it's a little disjointed in some ways, but you know what, when I saw it, and if you remember that from the Second World War, I thought, man, there had to have been a prayer meeting going on, okay? Because they saved 300,000 of these guys from the beaches of Dunkirk, which is an incredible miracle. And sure enough, I found out that, yes, Rhys Howells, who was a well-known major Welsh intercessor, had called a prayer meeting. The King of England at that time had joined in the prayer meeting. And I just found myself like, wow, you know, because I know other tidbits of history, like the Battle of Britain, for example, which is where, you know, all the air bombings that were going on, and there was a massive prayer meeting going on. And anyways, where even Churchill had said to this air marshal, Lord Downing, he said, have we ever any other reserves to send up? Any more Spitfires to send up? And they said, no, we have none. And Churchill was so grave in his appearance. And at the last moment, when it seemed like victory was in the grasp of the German bombers, they turned around and they went home. I don't know if you were that. That is a miracle. And why I found myself pondering this is I felt like the Lord saying, I have a preserving anointing on this nation. This nation is chosen for such an incredible work in the heart of God. And I just want to say this, I don't know if this is controversial, I leave anyways back to Canada, but you know, Brexit is of the Lord. I believe to say that to you, Brexit is of the Lord. And why I feel to say that is because I believe that God is sparing you also of just some things that are going to come down. Doesn't mean like all of Europe is terrible, I'm not saying that. But I do believe there's a special preserving anointing on the UK that God is saying that you're going to be raised up in the last days to be a beacon of light, kind of like a nation of refuge or something. There's a refuge calling. There's a preserving calling. Just like in the war, you were preserved from occupation, right? My aunts, my mom and my dad are from Holland. I know all the stories. They're still alive. I get the stories of being under occupied Holland and how horrible it was. You were never occupied. But I tell you, there's something about God's heart for this nation to rise up again, to be a beacon of light, even to Europe and beyond the nations of the world. Come on, keep praying. Keep believing. Don't believe the lies, you know, that, oh, it's all going to pot. No, God has got a preserving fire anointing on this nation. So I just speak blessing to that. And all that he has for you. I really believe it's a phenomenal year. I do. If you haven't heard it, look up Cindy Jacobs' word for 2018 and just Google it. I was there in Dallas at those prophetic meetings in November. And then anyway, so she has this amazing word, even about this in the Hebrew calendar, is 5778, which pictorially looks like a gate. And the word that she was speaking was like, go through the gates, like go through the gate, possess the gates of your destiny, possess the gates of your, you know, and break down there's a scripture that says, you know, possess the gates of the enemy, where the enemy has held you back. It's time to break through. It's time to go into destiny in a new way. It really is. I believe it. I think that God has got a special thing on this year. And so just look it up. It's a phenomenal prophetic word. And I'll just say this, as we were in, the nations were, first there were small meetings, invite-only meetings to prophetic voices from the nations. And there was a time where this guy got up from Zimbabwe, the representative from Zimbabwe, and he was just sharing some things. It was very powerful, but then he shared about how when he was a child that his mom used to call him useless. His dad had died when he was very young. And she said, my kids are useless because they don't help me or they get into trouble. Well, he later became a Christian. He became, you know, actually raised up by the Lord in the nation. And he gave his mom food one time or gave her money. And then she said, well, maybe you're not so useless after all. I know this is a crazy story. But he was taking that to say Africa has felt useless to the nations. And the Lord is wanting to make it useful. And he broke into tears. It was just a powerful moment. God invaded the room. He's from Zimbabwe. And so, you know, there was intercession for Africa and intercession for Zimbabwe and cutting off any of the demonic things that the Lord, that the enemy had done for that nation. Do you know what we found out the next day that at the exact moment we were praying these things for Zimbabwe is when the coup happened in Zimbabwe. Now, that's powerful stuff, because I don't know if you know anything about the coups, but they can, in Turkey, for example, unsuccessful has led to disaster. Many judges, many people in prison, including a Partners in Harvest pastor, after that coup. But this one in Zimbabwe was successful. And one of the gals in the room, actually Betty King, who some of you might know, she's down the street from here, but her aunt was Mugabe's first wife, and her aunt, she said, was killed by his second wife, who is Grace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, anyways, and she, this Grace, this is part of the reason why they wanted to overthrow him, is because she was a witch. She had done witchcraft, was doing all kinds of witchcraft, wanted to be the next leader after her husband. He's in his 90s or something. But anyways, my point is this. We can change the destiny of nations, come on, through our prayers and through our taking our place. You know, if my people call upon my name, will humble themselves and pray, 2 Corinthians 7:14, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. You make a difference in the nation of England and the United Kingdom. Come on, your prayers, your witness, your being who God has called you to be, possess the gates of your destiny. And walk it out, walk it out. Well, you know what? I do have a message that I felt like the Lord said to speak tonight. And so, how you doing? This is awesome. Like marathon, but I love it, I love it. And, you know, so Father, I just thank you for that. Well, I really feel really 2 points. I'm so sensing that the Lord is saying that he's coming with a whole wave of holiness and purity into his church. And really specifically, he's saying here tonight, I don't know what's gone down. Like, I don't know what your life is like. I do know that I had years of spirit of stupid. That's what I had. Like, you know, I loved God. I came to Jesus when I was 12. I was raised Christian. But I had a few years of just, you know, I don't know, looking for love in the wrong places. I kind of had this thing where I pick up any guy that I wanted, you know, and dated all these kind of, all these different people. And there was this call at the same time to love Jesus. So I messed up, and I felt that compromise. And I just want to say this, that whatever fun is out there in the world is nothing compared to the fun that there is in Jesus and the joy that there is in Jesus. And so I just felt that call to come back and really give him everything. And I believe tonight that God is calling some people here to really fully rededicate or dedicate their lives to him. Because I remember I was 21 years old around there when the Lord was saying, okay, now it's enough is enough. Yes, you've had all these relationships. By the way, I wrote a book. I don't know where it is, but there is some copies. So they're on the table out there. Okay, it's called Raising Burning Hearts. I realize many of you are too young that you don't have kids, but it is about mentoring. And I do have 6 children. My husband and I have 6 children. 3 are married in full-time ministry, and 3 are, well, one's in university and 2 at home. But anyways, that book is about mentoring. That book is about pastoring or parenting. But my point is this. I had all these different relationships. And then the Lord said, don't raise your kids the same way that you did it. And I'm like, hallelujah. Yes, spare them at my pain. And so we just really admonished them about, hey, God's got somebody for you. And God's got a partner for you. So I want to condense this, but we just said, wait for God's best. Wait for God's, if you do, like, don't date all these different people. You know, hey, I want a good looking guy next to me. Hey, I want to go have some fun. But hey, what's God doing? What's God saying? Hang out with groups, have lots of friends. Anyways. So that's what the Lord did. It's amazing because, you know, our son, he's super amazing. He's 6'6". He's super handsome. And he just didn't, you know, he had a Nazarite vow to dedicate himself to the Lord, to really separate himself all through his high school years. He's a Nazarite vow, meaning really separated, consecrated. And then I remember being with him walking down the street when all these girls would be like, whoa, you know, and he wouldn't even notice them. I'm like, that's got to be supernatural, you know. It's like, anyway, so he was in Hillsong in Sydney, Australia in the worship school when we hired a children's worker in our church. She was a YWAMer. And anyways, comes back from Hillsong in Australia, takes one look at her and says, that's going to be my wife. And we're like, we didn't know we hired our daughter-in-law. Anyways, sure enough, they got married. You know, first kiss on engagement, first date, first you know, sexual encounter in marriage. And I thought, oh, God, you're right. There is a better way, okay? Now, I messed up so many times. And so I know forgiveness, okay? And And I know what it's like, again, to have that spirit of stupid on me for a few years. But I am a story of redemption. And hallelujah that I didn't marry all these, you know, it was bad. But anyways, you know, did marry Mr. Right. Hallelujah. But I just feel like God wants to set people tonight on a trajectory of destiny. And I know that I had to make a decision somewhere along the line to say no to compromise, to say no to the things that were sucking me into the world and whatever. And honestly, you know, TMI, too much information, but some of it, a lot of it was demonic, to be honest. It's like there's this crazy kind of thing where I just knew I could pick up any guy. I knew I could, whatever. It was a kind of sick kind of power. And it's like, I remember when I repented of sexual sin. When I repented and saying, God, I want to be cleansed. God, I want to be free. God, I don't want this anymore. And I remember deliverance. And my future husband just happened to be in the room at that time. When it wasn't just up and out with a natural breath. It was like, deliverance with frothing at the mouth. And, oh, she's mine. I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. And my husband, my future husband, is in the room saying, oh, there's my future wife. Now, that's got to be unconditional love. That's what that is. But how many know the demons are better out than in? All right, hallelujah. I remember getting free. And I'll never forget it because I was just like, I was so changed. And sometimes, by the way, when you get free of stuff, guess what? The enemy will try to tempt you or try to, you know, make you think that you're not free. I remember these crazy, like, demonic visitations at night, and I'm like standing my ground. No, I am free in Jesus' name. And the Lord said this to me. It's from the Bible. And he said, let not the dog return to its vomit. I'm like, are you calling me a dog? But anyways, that is in the Bible. Meaning, don't go back to spirit of stupid. Don't go back, you know, to sinful ways. You know what? If you're having a drinking problem, don't hang out at the bar. Hello. You know, and if you're having a problem, it's just like, it was like God saying, don't go into those situations again. And, you know, you might find this hard to believe, but I used to be like the dancing queen, all right? Yeah, I used to be a bodybuilder. I know that's really hard to believe. I'm a mother of 6 children. But I used to be, trained with a trainer and bodybuilding and all this stuff. And it was like the Lord saying, just, I want you to give all that up. I want you to, you know, full on after me. And I want you to you know, give up some of these things. Not, don't give up. You should be dancing in church, by the way. Dance in church. But I, you know, it was just this crazy thing of saying, God, you know what? I really do want you. So I'm going to give up dancing at the bar. That was hard. But yeah, I'll give it up for you. Because, and I'm just so glad. And I look back and I'm so totally different than those days. But I believe the Lord is giving a word for people here tonight. It's time to live holy. It's time to say goodbye to some of the stuff that sucks you back. And there's time, you know, when you say don't burn bridges, well, in this case, do burn bridges. Burn some bridges. Burn some bridges with the things, even some of the people, to be honest with you. I remember having a boyfriend, he had so much control over me, and the Lord said, I want you to throw away anything he's ever given you. I want you to give away, or whatever, you know, get him off your, do not talk to him, basically. I was like, that doesn't sound Christian. The Lord said, yes, it's Christian, because I'm telling you, and I'm God. And then I was like, well, like should I pray for him? And God says, I don't even want you praying for him. I'll send other people to pray for him. I want you free of that relationship. Yeah. Wow. I had to give away or throw away everything he gave to me. And it was like soul ties got broken when I did. Soul ties got broken because I had to decide if I was going to go on with God. Come on, I'm talking to somebody here. Are you going to go on with God or are you going to hang on to that relationship? Are you going to go on with God or are you going to hang on to that idol? You know, and he was like an idol. He was this big football player, you know, super funny and super everything. And it was like God says, enough is enough. Walk. Yeah. Walk away from this relationship. And so sometimes we've got to cut your losses. Yeah. The gift of goodbye. The gift of goodbye to everything and anything that sucks me back into the world. Because God is saying, the cross before you, the world behind you, yeah. No turning back. Amen. Come on, church, I really believe it. God is saying that tonight. There's something powerful in this whole walk of holiness and freedom and righteousness. And so I believe that God's going to do something in those lines tonight. I actually feel he's going to break some addictions too. You know, 76% of men in church do pornography. And the power of those images. Do you know that actually pornography has been proven to make your brain less smart? It rewires the brain into pleasure centers that actually steal from your intelligence. And then it's harder and harder to gain pleasure because of that addiction and those triggers that are triggered in the brain. Do you know, by the way, it's just been discovered this week, or just been reported this week, the guy who did the shootings, you know, the shootings in Las Vegas, do you remember that? It was discovered that he did child pornography, and they actually feel that that did something to his brain that triggered what he did. Come on, church, it's dabbling with fire. It's dabbling with fire. It's like we need to get free of every clutch of the enemy to walk the walk that God's called us to walk. You know, my life is so ridiculously amazing. Like, I'm so blessed and I'm so glad. I mean, any of that. I mean, if you knew all the facts, you'd always choose God's way. If you knew all the facts, what's going to happen to you in your life, you'd always choose God's way. Now, that's not even my message. Oh, my goodness. All right, but let me just say this. I feel like the Lord was saying to talk, at least for a moment here, about the power of the Word of God. You know, that's so much of what helped set me free as well. And, you know, what did Jesus do when he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days? Remember that? He said to the devil who said, hey, throw yourself down or worship me or whatever. What did he do? He said, it is what?
Written.
It is written. Here is a great spiritual warfare strategy. It is written, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. It is written, he and the Son is set free, is free indeed. Yeah. It is written, my God is greater, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, church.
Yeah.
And so if you don't know what's written, sometimes you're lacking. You know what the Bible is called? Our sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. Try going into battle with no sword, all right? You might get taken out. And so it's like the Lord saying, take up your sword. Take up this phenomenal tool that you have. Now, I was 21, somewhere around there, 22. And I went on a mission trip. I was in the Philippines, I was in Hong Kong, and I was in China. And I was with Jackie Pullinger, who's from this country, by the way, and she's a missionary in Hong Kong. And we had Bibles then, we were a team, but we were going to go and smuggle them into China. I don't know if you know that China has, for years, made the Bible illegal, okay? So there may be a few changes now, but there's still a lot of persecution. Anyways, here I am at the border in China, came on a hovercraft from Hong Kong. I have Bibles in my bra, okay? Too much information. Bibles in my underwear. Because I was told, you're not going to get frisked at the border because, you know, you're a foreigner. And so I got Bibles, and I have Bibles in my bag. But they discovered the Bibles in my bag, and they're putting them in my face or in Cantonese, right? Can you read this? And I'm like, no. Why do you have these Bibles? Well, I don't know. They're for a friend, you know? It's all illegal, you know? So anyways, when one guard went away, the other guard put the Bibles in the back of my bag. We got 500 Bibles through that day.
Wow.
And then they said, okay, now you act like tourists. So we're acting like tourists. And then they said this, your room is going to be bugged. You're going to have wires in your room. So don't speak in tongues because you could be speaking one of the 300 different Chinese dialects. And I'm like, I know my shit, I know my shit, I know my shit. Okay. This is true. Our room was bugged and they were following us. But the Bibles were delivered to the underground church at night in secret. Now, something affected me at that time, and it was this. I'm thinking, how many Bibles do I have at home? 5, 6? And what are they doing? They're collecting dust. And these Chinese believers are risking their lives to get Bibles from us. And I something pierced my heart, and I just said at that time in my life, I think I was 22 or so, I said, I am going to be a woman of the Word.
Amen.
And it's just like it decided that and began to study the Bible. And I just actually wrote a book that Destiny Image is publishing. It's not out yet. It's about prayer, prophecy, and the power of God's Word. And it was just like this whole thing of the Word of God. Now, let me say this. We are challenged right now in society to have anything but a biblical worldview. We are challenged to have a cultural worldview. or whatever. How many of you know about the age of enlightenment and all of that, where it's like there's this thing of reasoning and the idol of reasoning, Socrates, Plato. Also, it's like if the teaching that they came up with was, if you can't basically scientifically prove it, then it's really not important. So heaven and hell and angels and demons and all that stuff became so much less prominence in society in this age of enlightenment and reasoning and all this stuff. But you know what? God is calling us. He's calling you to live a biblical worldview life. In other words, what is a worldview? A worldview is the lenses through which you view life. It's different areas. Theology, what is true about God? Philosophy, what is true about reality? Biology, what is true about life and its origins? Psychology, what is true about man and his nature? Ethics, what's true about right conduct? Sociology, what is true about society and people interacting with one another? Law, what is true about how society should be ordered? Politics, what's true about how society should be governed? Economics, what is true about how societies should distribute and acquire resources, or history, what's true in our past regarding what men have done and why they did it. Come on, this is all part of your worldview. And it's time we get back to the Bible. Instead of political correctness, instead of I want to be popular, instead of I want to please, I don't know, my university professor, forget it. You know what? We're all going to stand before Jesus someday face to face and give an account for our lives. Did we live our lives according to the Bible? And so there's something here that God is, I believe, saying, pick it up. Pick up the study of the Word. Pick up a love for the Word. Seriously. I remember reading it before years ago, and I'm like, oh my goodness, God, I do not understand this. I remember being a kid, and I'm like, Trinity, oh, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How can you be three in one? I'm a kid, but I'm a farmer's daughter, right? I raised a farm. I milked cows. I picked eggs. I trained horses. And the Lord just used something that made sense to me. He said, see that egg that you're picking? And we picked thousands of eggs. I'm like, yeah, well, that egg is one, but it's got three parts, a shell and a white and a yolk. I'm three in one, the egg's three in one. I'm like, a kid. Okay, I get it. I know that's simplistic, but I didn't understand the Bible. And I just began to ask God to help me. Hey, God, can you help me? Holy Spirit, you're called a teacher. Can you teach me? And he began to teach me. He began to show me things. Not that I know everything, but I just want to say this. The Bible is better than any movie, honestly. It's better than a novel. It's like the Bible is amazing. And I didn't always believe that. But God, I believe, is wanting to impart here today to us a love for the Word of God. And even in parenting, impart it to our kids. I have this beautiful daughter who her name is Gabrielle. And I remember she being 12 years old and pierced to study end times. It's like, who's 12 and studies end times? You know, it's like, that's Gabriel. And she was 15 when we were in this meeting. And anyways, it's a long story. But Mike Bickle was leading this meeting. And then she pipes up and says, can I ask a question? He's like, yeah. He says, you know, from Revelation 16, when the locusts are coming out of the pit. And do you think that they're real demons? Or do you think, and every head turned to a 15-year-old asking this question. They didn't understand the question, let alone the answer. And Mike Bickle's like, what's your name? She says, my name is Gabriel. And he said, well, Michael and Gabriel will work together again. That was a play on the archangels. But anyways, he leads the IHOP International House of Prayer Ministry. And guess what? She works with him. Michael and Gabriel do work together because he hired her. But, you know, she just loved the Word. And I remember she took a year out of her life to fast movies. And by the way, this is a time of fasting. God's been speaking to you about fasting fast, because it is a time. This is a season to fast for the fullness of calling and destiny, and start in the early part of this year with some fasting. And many, anyways, she fasted a year of movies when she was 16. It's kind of hard to do when you're 16. But anyway, she did, and she came out of that year a much different person. She got a four-year theology degree. I'm not saying everybody's got to get a theology degree, but she's on YouTube. Look her up, by the way. Gabrielle Bootsma is the maiden name. Nunez is her married name. It's on YouTube teaching from the book of Revelation, teaching the Word of God. Do you know what? She got a grasp of loving the Word when she was young. And I feel like God wants to put a love for the Word of God and then the love for the author of the Word inside of us. You find out a lot about the author when you know the written Word. Jesus said, you're not willing to come to me, you know, but come to me, John 5. Come to me. And he said, you search the scriptures for, and then you have life, but you don't know me. But let's search the scriptures and find him there. Pray the word. Pray portions of the Bible. You want to know one prayer I pray every day? It's a prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand might be with me and you would keep me from evil. And that's such a simple prayer. It kickstarts my prayer life. Praying the Bible. Pray the Bible. Pray that over every one of my kids. And anyway, so the word of God, you know, just in case you're wondering, just in case you've been taught in school, well, you know, the Bible is not really relevant for today. Well, it is. Over the course of 1,500 years, 40 different authors wrote the Bible. The Old Testament has 39 books, as we know. The New Testament has 27. But check this out. How did it become canonized? How did we get the Bible as the Bible? And it was completely finished in AD 397. But it was through these tests, these books that were written. If you read the Bible, some of them are different books, different letters. The Old Testament was never disputed, as the historians and the Jewish scribes had translated it so accurately. But in the New Testament, it had to give evidence of being God-breathed, and it'd be consistent with the Christian faith, the teachings of the church. It had to be authorship of the New Testament. It had to have some sort of apostolic. Either you were an apostle that actually walked with Jesus, or you were one who worked with the apostles, like Luke. He was a close associate of the apostle Paul. And then lastly, a document's widespread continuous acceptance by churches everywhere was taken into consideration. That's how we got the canonized, if you will, or the scriptures. And now it's called closed canonism. We're not going to add any more books to this. And that's important to know, because some churches or denominations or some different false religions will try to do that and say, oh, that's not it. There's all these other books. No, that's not true. Let me list this about the reliability of the Bible. First of all, in the text, that the ancient manuscripts of the Bible, do you know how many ancient manuscripts there are of the Bible? 5,300 known Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. There's 10,000 Latin Vulgate and at least 9,300 early versions, making 24,000 manuscript copies of portions of the New Testament. No other document of antiquity or old has even close to those numbers. Come on, somebody say wow. Like, as in, for example, Dead Sea Scrolls, 1947, when they were dug up from Qumran in Israel. Those were, you know, complete Isaiah and all these different manuscripts from thousands of years preserved. That, you never see any book like that with that kind of proven reliability. Another test is the internal test is whether eyewitnesses wrote the document. In the New Testament, we have multiple authors like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. In other words, you have several eyewitnesses attesting to counts written in historical text. How about the external evidence? For example, archaeology. I just got back from Israel, led a tour in November of Israel. Do you know that archaeology continues to prove the authenticity of the Bible? Come on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You got to go put it on your bucket list, for heaven's sakes, to go to Israel, all right? Put it on. It's amazing. But let me give you one example. It's John 5:1-2, where the pool in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, called in Hebrew Bethsaida, which has five porticoes. And critics of the Bible said, well, there's never been a Sheep Gate. There's never been five porticoes discovered in archaeology. Well, guess what? It was just recently discovered in the last 2-3 years. And I saw it in November. There's the five porticoes. Come on. I don't need it for my faith, but I like it, you know? And how about just a couple years ago, a Catholic priest actually from Mexico bought land, wanted to put up a resort. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. And you have to do archaeology before you're allowed to build anything in Israel. Started to dig, and guess what? Discovered the town of Magdala, you know, Mary Magdalene. And that was only just recently discovered in the last 3 years. Come on, church. That's like 2,000, you know, 2,500-year-old city. So God continues to prove, you know, what's true, what he has brought. Now, again, I don't need it. How about, have you ever heard of Flavius Josephus? Josephus, phenomenal historian, author. He wasn't even a believer. But how his writings of history prove the authenticity of scriptures again and again and again and again. This is truth. It's truth. The word of God is true. It is reliable. You can read it and be changed. I like what my husband says when he says it's not so much that we read the Bible, but the Bible reads us.
Yes.
The Bible reads us. You read the word and you compare your life to what you read and you see things shift. I tell you, it was a prophecy in 1947 with Smith Wigglesworth from your country. And he said this. He said the greatest end time revival that is coming is going to be a marriage between the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit. We want the spirit. Hallelujah. I love prophecy. But guess what? We need the word.
Yeah.
My pet peeve is prophetic people that don't know the Bible. You know, prophesying stuff is like, ugh. It's like fingers on the blackboard for me. It's like, ugh. That's so not according to scripture. Come on, church. Let's be people of the word.
Yeah.
You're a student. You're whatever you're doing. Make time in your life to get in the Bible. It absolutely will change you. Just like Paul said to, you know, in Hebrews 4, it says this, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I was raised in a church. I had a prophecy when I was 8 about traveling the world and speaking and preaching. And guess what? I was raised in a church where the women didn't do anything but make tea, put out cake maybe. Never preach, never prophesy. And I'm like, what? I'm 8, I'm on a farm, you know, I'm like, who am I? I'm nobody from nowhere. And yet this prophetic word was so strong and the Lord burned in my heart. I wasn't even born again until I was 12. You know, God's got a plan for you. How many know God's got a plan? He really has a plan, a great plan, by the way. So all I remember is like, wow, okay. But then, you know, I'm raised in this church, you know, the denomination I was raised in. God bless it, you know, because it's like my ancestors upon ancestors upon ancestors were in that denomination. But anyways, I remember reading the Bible and reading things about prophecy and healing and miracles. And I'm like, I don't see prophecy, miracles, and healing. So when I was 16, I decided to go to a church where I could learn a bit more about the supernatural. Then I was 19 or 20 when I joined John and Carol Arnott's church back in Stratford. But anyways, so I am like in this church or whatever, and I'm seeing miracles and I love it. And I remember being visited by the tall elders of the church I was raised in. And they said, why are you not coming to church? And I said, well, I actually am going to church, but I'm just looking for more of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget this. I'm 16 years old. They said, are you saying we don't have the Holy Spirit? And I was like, well, I'm actually not saying that, but I want to see miracles and I want to see prophecy. I got excommunicated when I was 16 years old. I mean, you know, that was a big deal in my family of generation upon generation upon generation. I've been in that church. I'm so glad, though. I'm so glad. But you know what provoked me? I read it in the Bible. I read it. Do not take tradition over the truth of the Word of God. Don't take your experience over the truth of the Word of God. I didn't have experiences of healings or miracles. It's just that I knew that I read it in the Bible and I thought it's got to be true if it's in the Bible. So come on, church. It's like God is saying, love the word, love the word, love the word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. What does that mean? The Greek word for effectively is energio, which is one of the energy words, and it's kind of like saying a pack of dynamite. It works inside of you. The Bible works inside of you to change us, to transform us, to make us into people that, you know, it's like as I read the Bible, I'm like, I desire God more. As I read the Bible, my prayer life includes, it gets stronger. And it's just like, oh, come on, church. I feel like God is saying it's time. Catch the fire, London. It's time. Take up the word of God. Take up the word of God. You got the spirit, and I love it. I want it. I want more of the spirit. Take up the word. Whoa. Watch what God will do. I feel like he wants to just train an entire generation through this church and ministry. Train a generation of lovers of God and lovers of the word who take the truth of the scriptures even into some of these churches. You know, I remember first coming to England years ago, and it's like the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, some of those beautiful historic churches that have dead, or some of them have been taken over by other religions or whatever. He said, I'm going to put fire back in the hearth of churches in the nation of England. I'm going to put fire back in the church of traditional churches. I'm going to visit them again. Sometimes there's been changes of leadership and where that's needed, but the fact is that God is looking for people to rise up, take his word, and go for it. I want to just say this, schedule time for the word of God. Schedule time in your life. You know, my encouragement to you, especially a lot of millennials here, is it's fine and cool to have your iPad, your iPhone with the Bible on it, but don't use that as your main source of Bible reading. Get a written Bible. Get a written Bible. You will understand more. You'll retain more. You'll study more. I like writing in my Bible, highlighting my Bible. I said this somewhere, and this lady came up to me. She said, you know, when you said that, I'd always been reading the Bible on my iPad. I went out and bought a written Bible, and now my time in the Bible is so much richer than it was on the iPad. Yeah. I don't understand it exactly, but I believe it's true, that it's something about the written word. You will retain more. And I recommend, you don't have to, but I recommend the New King James Version. If you're looking for a Bible, go buy the Spirit-Filled Life New King James Version. How about this? Read through the Bible. Come on. Practical here for a moment. Start in Genesis, start in Matthew together at the same time and work your way through. Read a passage from the Old, a passage from the New. Start to work your way through. Read a psalm if you can a day and a proverb a day. That would be 4 chapters a day if you can handle that. But you know what? Like, don't just speed read either. It's better that you actually take time, as I mentioned, take a verse and pray it. But that's what I recommend, is don't just skip here and skip there. I'll read this passage today and I'll read that passage tomorrow. I have gotten so much out of the Bible by reading through it. It's like God just knows when I need to find that passage and the day that I'm reading it. And, you know, it's just amazing. As well as take the time to write. Sometimes write it out. Write out some in your journal. Listen to a voice of God. But write out certain passages. Read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. You know, I love singing the Bible. And in our house prayer, we have worship in the word sets. They are so powerful. We sing the Bible for 2 hours, 2 or 3 times a week. We sing worship in the word sets. But anyways, sing it, say it, read it, write it, pray it. But read through the Bible. Meditate on the word of God. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Say mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know what the word meditate means in Hebrew? It means to ponder out loud to oneself. Do you remember seeing this, the Jews at the Wailing Wall? What are they doing? They got their scriptures and they're meditating. They're pondering out loud. This motion is called davening, and it actually helps your brain retain more. But anyways, they're meditating on the Word of God. You know how I like to meditate on the Word of God? It's just, I have certain scriptures that I say, declare every day. Again, I could just say, you know, no longer I live as Christ who lives in me, or proclaiming them, you know, Isaiah 50, early I will seek you. You've given me the tongue of the learned, that I would speak a word in due season. I mean, just meditate on the truth of the scripture. It will change your life. Don't just receive the fact that you're addicted to that thing, or you're broken here. It's time to war, and war with the sword of the word of God. Satan, it is written, you know, I can resist you and you will flee from me. So flee from me in Jesus' name. That's what the Bible says. Resist the devil and he will flee. Do you believe it or not? See, that's the thing. Do we believe it? And getting into the word absolutely causes our minds to be renewed. Do you know what it says in Ephesians 4? 22. It says this. It says that put off the old man with its old passions and desires. Some of us need to do that today. And then the is it 24? It says to put on the new man. Okay, got to put off the old. Got to put on the new. What's the one in the middle? Verse 23. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you get this thing renewed? How do you get your mind renewed? I'm no longer the old. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You meditate on the word. You declare the word. You use that morning by morning and day by day. You will see your mind transformed. Come on, talk to somebody. You know, my good friend is Stacy Campbell. And she used to have, I think it was, not anorexia, bulimia. So she used to eat, binge, And she just could not get set free from that habit. And then the Lord began to show her the power of the Word of God. And she began to declare and decree things. Every time she wanted to binge, she started to quote the scriptures. She started to declare the scriptures. And then and every time that she felt like, you know, she just throw it all up, she declared the scriptures. Do you know what? That was the key to getting free. Sometimes renewing the spirit of your mind, the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. You know, the Lord had me memorize portions of scripture, and when my mind goes crazy or whatever, I just begin to speak in my mind those scriptures that I learned, and I find that it changes everything. Well, can I have some of the marathon worshipers come on back up? Even just somebody on guitar or piano or something like that. But I want to say this, that if you're having a hard time, go on to what's called CBN.com, Christian Broadcasting Network.com. Sign up for their email so you'll get an email every day about what portion of the Bible to read that day. Okay, that'll help to discipline you. Or BibleGateway.com, anybody seen that? It's a great resource, concordance-free online resource. SonicLight.com is great for clicking on study notes. You can do studies of the Bible. I like taking books of the Bible to study the Bible. As well as, there's tons of online resources that are free, but utilize them. Here's the deal. Get into the Word of God. Church, get into the Word of God. I believe that the Lord wants to raise up phenomenal, Holy Spirit, on fire, anointed theologian types from this church. Doesn't mean you have to go to seminary. It just means study the Bible yourself. And God is going to help you feed the masses. Let's stand for a moment here. Come, Holy Spirit. God, come. Break in. Break in. Break in. Break in. Father, let your fire come. Let your fire fall. Lord, we welcome you. God, I'm asking that you would cause us to go from glory to glory, even from this time together, from meeting together in this place of your presence. Lord, mark hearts and lives. Change us for forever, that which you do in us tonight would set us on a trajectory, on a course of the fulfillment of the calling that you have for us. Just think of Psalm 139, verse 16, which says, you know, in your book, it is written of me, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Before that you were born, before you were created and God created you, God has a book. He had a book. He had a plan for your life. He had a destiny. Now it's still up to you to say yes or say no. One time I had this heavenly encounter. I'm not joking. In my spirit, I was in heaven. My body was on earth. Few times this happened, but I remember this one time where I saw all these books, and I saw these books that were golden in color, and I knew they were the lives of believers in Jesus. They had a golden hue to them. And I saw these other books, and they were shadowy, or they were dull. They looked like kind of like under a shadow. And I knew they were the books of people who were not yet believers, or who were not believers. I was like in awe. And then later I read in Revelation 20 that talks about the library in heaven, talks about the books in heaven. And you know that your book will be opened when you meet Jesus face to face. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that erases our sin. It erases, it seriously does. Like my great grandmother was on her deathbed when she started to speak out the things that she saw. And I used to be a nurse, and I've been around a lot of people dying or dead. And there's a veil that lifts many times right before they die. And she spoke out, my great-grandmother, she said, the angels, I hear them singing. Can you hear them singing, the angels? And then she said, there's my sins have been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has wiped away my sin. And then she said, there he is. And then she died. She saw Jesus and she died. It's a true story. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus that erases our sin. Hallelujah for the fact that we can be free from the spirit of stupid and those years of those wasted time or whatever. God. God, come. Jesus, come, 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 come. We want to live for you. We want the book of my life that you wrote, your plan, your will, your way. I want it, God. I want to live it. If this 80, 90, whatever years I've got on this planet, let it be lived for your glory compared to forever and eternity. God, come. God, break it. I know Hannah said this earlier, but I just know there's people, you need to give your life full on to Jesus. I know it. I feel it in my bones. I just feel like there's something for some of a rededication. We're going to have another call in a moment, but if you know you need to rededicate your life to God, you need to get rid of stuff that has held you back. It's like there's this thing of the world, yet, you know, when it comes to your kingdom come, your will be done, where you can't really honestly say that God's will is really lived in your life. It's more like your will, you're on the driver's seat, you're doing your thing. And it's like the Lord is saying, it's time to give it over to Him. It's time to fully get free of the sin that has held us back and the things that have been compromised, and to live fully for Him. If that's you, I want you to come up here right now. Just don't worry about who's with you. And by the way, if you're with somebody and you say, hey, do you want me to go with you? Then just come. This is about really giving Him everything. This is about rededicating your life to Jesus, or dedicating your life to Jesus, or saying, I'm going to be full on. Full on. Pour out your glory. Pour out your presence. Shikarara. Yeah, right up forward, right close here. God, I ask that you would break in. I know there was this call earlier, because this is on the heart of God, but there's something that the Lord, I believe, is going to set us free from stuff. Let's say this to Him. Let's say this together. Jesus, I say yes to you. Say that to Him. Jesus, I say yes to you. Jesus, forgive me of sin, of compromise, of holding back any part of my heart or my life or my time, my money, my relationships. I give it all to you. I surrender all. I want to be full on with you. Here I am. Your glory, God. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your fire right now. Fire, fire. Let there be a baptism of fire, God. Let there be a baptism of glory, God. I ask for a baptism of your amazing presence in Jesus' name. Fire, God. Break it, break it, break it. Yeah, more. Glory of God. Glory of God. And you know what? There's another category I know that the Lord spoke to me about, and it is. And I want you to, again, be brave. It's not about who sees you. It's about God who sees you. But it's where there has been just some sin patterns. Some sin patterns. There's been some things that have, you know, three steps forward, one back, two forward, two back. It's like there's this still this hold of the world. It may be the hold of a relationship. It may be the hold of a habit. It may be the hold in your mind, like a stronghold in the mind. But I feel like the Lord is saying that there's power here tonight. There's an authority that He wants to pour out to break the chains, just to break the chains of those patterns in Jesus' name. So if that's you, come on up here. Just run up here. Run up here with these ones. But there's something about getting free in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Break it. Now, I realize it's not nice, cushy carpet, but if you're comfortable, I feel it. Just kneel before the Lord. If that's okay with you, if you have bad knees or something, well, be healed in Jesus' name. But you know what? It's just God. And ministry team here, just begin to circulate and pray. In the name of Jesus, we repent. We repent. We repent tonight. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of fear. Forgiveness. forgiveness of a lack of faith, forgiveness of doubt, forgiveness of sin patterns, forgiveness of that addiction, forgiveness of the strongholds in the mind, forgiveness, oh God. We're asking for forgiveness for wrong relationships. Wrong relationships, God. Come. Break in. Break in. Just cry out to Him. Ask Him to forgive you. There's a washing today. You know, today, I hope it came to London, but it was in Harlow. A beautiful snowfall. A beautiful snowfall. Brought it from Canada just for you. But it was a beautiful snowfall, and I just kept feeling about, you know, though your sins be as scarlet, He washes you as white as the snow. As white as the snow that fell today. God, come. Break the sin. Break the compromise. Break the chains of addiction. Break the chains of pornography. Break the chains of every substance addiction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with your power. Come with your fire. Come with your glory. Come, oh God. Come, oh God. Come, oh God. There's some women getting free of the need for that man's attention and affection. There's some women getting free of wrong, ungodly soul ties. In Jesus' name, freedom from the soul tie. Freedom from the soul tie. Freedom from the controlling relationship. Break you. You're worth more than that. You're worth more. I bought you with a beautiful price. Break it, break it, break it, break it. Holy Spirit, break it.